Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Pastor David Roberts, where it's all about real talk, real issues, and real answers. Here's Pastor.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. We want to welcome everybody. And this is a wonderful opportunity God has given unto us to be able to share the word today. Praise God. So wherever you might be, whether you're driving or you're on the confines of your wonderful, comfortable setting at your home, whatever, may this be a blessing unto you. Now, Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. We thank you once again for this precious opportunity you've given unto us to share your word. Holy Spirit, we so need you. We are absolutely lost without you. We look to you, and we're not doing this out of any religious obligation or pretense. We're doing this because we absolutely need you. We want to hear from you. We want to be used by you to help your people, help your kingdom, help your church. And for this, Lord, we give you all the praise. So I thank you right now, helping me on the sending end of this word, helping these your people on the receiving end. And we all give you the glory and the honor and the praise for causing this to produce fruit in people's lives, some 30, 60, and ultimately 100-fold return. We all agree by saying amen. 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 All right. Now, in Genesis chapter number 2, you know, now I'm going to move a little quick here because I don't want to spend so much time because you guys are familiar. You guys are family, praise the Lord. So, you know, you guys are familiar with the temptation that I have, which is to spend time longer than maybe I need to, you know, so forth. So I got to go a little quick, you know, so forth from this first part. Genesis 2, starting at verse number 16. Now, one of the things that you know, we spend a lot of time trying to establish this in the hearts and understanding of people is that, you know, from the scripture, we understand a few things, you know. Actually, you know, if we were to look in Genesis 2, starting at verse number 2, it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Okay, so we understand that God worked. And for 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, and he rested not because he was tired, but he rested because he was done. Verse number 3 says, and God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, we don't have to spend much time, but the point is that we know that man was made on the tail end of the sixth day. At the end of the sixth day, God made man. We saw God making other things on the sixth day, but it was before man. So that's why we say man was made at the end of the sixth day. Mm-hmm. The seventh day was man's first day. Praise God. So it tells us if the seventh day, man's first day, was a day that God rested, he hallowed it, he blessed it, he sanctified it, you know, because he had finished his work, so forth. So man was made to live in the finished work of God. We said before, you know, why didn't God make God or make man on day one? It wasn't ready yet. Why didn't he make him on day two? Wasn't ready yet. He'd had to been swimming, treading water, you know, so forth. Why didn't he make him on day four or five? It wasn't, everything wasn't ready yet. Vegetation, certain thing hadn't been put there, cultivated yet, so forth. It wasn't ready. So that means everything that God made was for man, you know. So all his work, man was supposed to live in it. You know, man was created to live in the finished work of God. So we know God told Adam, you know, so forth, all these trees, you know, except for one, you can freely eat, you know. So we understand that freely eat wasn't talking about he was charging for bananas and apples, you know, and today was just a bonus day or, you know, so forth. No, it represented the revelation that everything I made was for you, you know, and you don't have to be a self-made man. You could be a God-made man, yes. You know, where everything that you're operating in and flowing in, God created and made for you. Mm-hmm. It was already prepared. You don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, apples were ready. Everything was ready in the garden, yeah. You know, so forth. That was the will of God. Now, we know that Satan was in there. We don't have to go have time to go into all the details of when we did the revelation of who made Satan, you know, mm-hmm. so forth. But we know he was in the garden. Yeah. He's perceptive enough and mentally, you know, aware, brilliant enough mentally to be able to see the relationship between man's protection, man's provision, man's prosperity is connected to them being God-minded. Them being God-minded. He's seeing, you know, the potential of man just come alive, you know, as they stay connected to him and they stay God-minded. He understood that. So he devised a plan, therefore, to get them from being God-conscious to being self-conscious and so forth. So that's why he put his whole little plan together to draw man's attention away from God and get man's attention on himself. Mm-hmm. We know that he, you know, concocted this plan by way of this forbidden fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that the only thing that God said, now don't fool with that. Don't eat that, you know, so forth. It's there, but it's not to be consumed, you know, so forth. We know that this forbidden fruit was enticing enough to get man's attention and then ultimately get him to indulge in it, so forth. This fruit, I'm saying, is a fruit or the fruit that of self-centeredness. We know that has to be the what the fruit is. We know knowledge good and evil, but I'm talking about the real negative side of this particular fruit, you know, because immediately self-consciousness, self-centeredness, you know, self-preservation, all these derivative of being of self begin to be, you know, go into operation immediately. Not a month later, not a few years later. We're talking immediately. The Bible says in verse number 7, Genesis 3 and 7, the eyes of them both were open and they knew their eyes. So they became conscious. This is another consciousness when the Bible says, and their eyes were open. Mm-hmm. Not talking about their natural eyes, you know, so forth. It's not even so much talking about their spiritual eyes because their eyes were spiritually opened by way of God. Mm-hmm. So this is talking about an awareness. You know, it's using it in a liberal sense, you know, so forth. A consciousness, an awareness that wasn't on before, that now opened, that now they became conscious of something that they weren't conscious of before. So the scripture makes it very plain that something opened, that something started. Their eyes were open as if they were closed or ignorant to this before, foreign to them before. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? All of a sudden now they're conscious of it and they're conscious of self. All right. Their eyes were open and they knew they self were naked. So all of a sudden now, you know, by way of self, we see, you know, this self, you know, sufficiency, you know, they knew that they were naked. In other words, by way of that, in other words, with self comes shame. You know, so they're immediately because they're on themselves, you know, so forth. How many times, you know, at least I've in church culture where I talk with people, you know, not family people, but just people, you know, I've talked with people that would be hung up on wearing something. Because they think, oh, I wore that and people will think I don't have anything else. If I wear that again, I just wore that 3 weeks ago or whatever. In other words, see, they're feeling naked, you know, but it's because they're so self-conscious and self-centered. All that shame comes from self, you know, so forth. So all I'm saying is that we see that this forbidden fruit produced self-centeredness immediately, you know, knew they were naked, sold fig leaves. So now they're trying to operate in self-sufficiency. They're trying to take care of themselves. They're trying to solve their own problems, you know, without God. Now we find them hiding later, you know, from God, you know, so forth. We see all this. We see when God then begins to say, okay, why are you where you are? And, you know, da, da, da. And he says, well, why, that, you know, Adam, why'd you do it? Well, Eve, you know, well, but that's self. In other words, self-preservation, you want to shift blame. And, you know, you can't take ownership for nothing because self always wants to protect self, you know, so it can't be my fault. You know, it's got to be somebody else's fault. You know, so forth. And this is immediately Eve blamed the devil. Devil ain't got nobody to blame. The snake, you know, ain't got nobody to blame. So forth. I'm a snake. You know, she shouldn't have listened. You know, so forth. But this whole, we see all this self stuff going on. Now, the word is not that. That right there, you know, it doesn't take long in Christendom to find out that that's a reality. That's truth. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. That's not the word that I'm sharing. I'm just using that as a basic understanding where we can, where we can dive off from there. The bigger meaning is this, is that Satan offers that forbidden fruit all the time. That same forbidden fruit is not something that happened just back then. Silly Adam, silly Eve. Why would y'all do that? Why would you eat of the forbidden fruit? You got God. You had God. What more would you need? You know, silly. And that's how arrogantly Christians throughout the ages have looked at Adam and Eve, like, how could you be so dumb and just, you know, you got all this and you would fool around. You, the tree of life, you could have went straight for the tree of life and you fooled around and peddling around with this other stuff. Oh, look at this and look at this and so forth and fooled around, got tempted and blew the whole deal, you know. But the reality is that same scenario gets played out on a daily basis in the lives of Christians and in the lives, really, on a bigger scale of people in the world. Yeah. So forth, where he's offering the seduction of this forbidden fruit all over again. He does it three different ways. Okay, so forth. He does it in three different ways. This forbidden fruit, number one, is many times offered by way of the world system. The world system. We know, we've defined the world system as this man-made system of provision, protection, prosperity without God. Right. It's man's attempt to solve his own problems without God. All right? That's the world. The scripture is real plain in the book of 1 John. You don't have to turn there, you know, unless you're quick, praise the Lord. But 1 John chapter number 2. Starting at verse number 15 says this. It says, love not the world. So again, he's not using the word world like people, you know. So when he says love not the world, you know, he's not talking about people. He's not even talking about, you know, the planet, so forth. But he's using it, you know, without going into the Greek on it. He's using the word world in a system type term. All right. It's a mentality, so forth, that, you know, that operates, you know, within our society that many buy into. Yeah. You know, it's a rationale. It's a certain, you know, morality. It's a certain way that you do what you do, you know, so forth. It's this world where the scripture is clear. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, it didn't say the love for the Father, so forth. It doesn't say you don't love God. Wow. That's not what the scripture says. The love of the Father. In other words, the reason why they're going after this lie of the world system of trying to solve your problems as if God, like you don't need God. The reason why they're going after it and trying to solve their own problems is because they don't know what God has already done to solve your problems. Yeah, he loved you so much. He created the answer before your problem ever existed. But when you don't know that kind of love that has already been in motion for you and so forth, you'll go over there wasting your time and all your energy and efforts trying to solve something that's already been solved. Praise God. You know? So we understand this is a forbidden fruit. It's enticing. The Bible says, love not the world. Like there's an enticement about it. You know? Because the mantra of the world says this, that you don't need God to fill in the blank. You know, the world says this is a mentality, you know, you don't need God to be happy. Right. Just start thinking about yourself. No. You go, it's always about other people. You do so much for everybody. This is what makes it enticing, you know, because he starts stroking something that might not have been stroked too much, you know, and he starts appealing to that little part that, what about me? When's somebody going to think about me? I'm always for others. Where's my time? When's someone going to do something for me? And, you know, and that mentality is pushed on Disney. That mentality is pushed through Hollywood. That mentality is getting pushed down people's throats in the music industry, so forth. It's a whole mentality, you know, so forth, that if it feels good to you, honey, then you go ahead and do it. You know, this is the most godless society that we have ever been in, you know, so forth, because it has bought that lie and has been indulging in that forbidden fruit, hook, line, and sinker, over and over and over. And the fruit of it is now being manifest, and it cannot be denied. So we know that factually, our society and the people of it are drowning in self-centeredness. You know, and the fruit of it is depression is on an all-time high.
Yeah. True.
You know, all the medications and antidepressants and all the little things and the addictiveness of our society. More people are addicted. You know, they'll be like, well, cocaine addiction's down, but meth is up. You know, or, you know, they'll slant stats.
Yeah.
You know, so forth. It's like, no, this, addictions are up, way up, because it's people's self-medicated way of trying to deal with the effects of life always being about you. Satan's a liar. So when he puts it out there, you need to think about you. You, it's time for you. So forth. He's not thinking about you. It will not make you happy, because there is no happiness in selfishness.
That's right.
Zero. Zero. But as people are buying and indulging in that forbidden fruit, it's having its effects in people's lives, and is absolutely undeniable. So the more that, as it has been identified as the me culture, you know, our time has been generalized by non-spiritual people as being the me culture, so forth. We're more self-centered than ever before, so forth. But our society and the people of it are dealing with mental illness, and depression is a mental illness, is dealing with it in epic levels, you know, so forth. We know Jesus said that, you know, as we go further in this, obviously self-centeredness and all the derivatives of it would be on the increase, because he said the love would grow cold. You know, grow cold towards one another, and they will be lover of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, the way Paul put it in Timothy, they become lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. Mm-hmm. So we become more self, more about me. We're seeing that right before our eyes, you know, so forth. All I'm saying is that this is a fruit, a forbidden fruit offered by the devil to do what it did to Adam and Eve. He wants to do it and replicate it over and over again in people's lives, even believers. It's not a matter of if you eat that fruit, you ain't saved, but it's a matter of you won't experience the life. Mm-hmm. It will be the same thing. You eat, you'll surely die. Mm-hmm. You're going to experience the death of depression. You're going to experience the death of loneliness. You're going to experience, mm-hmm. you're going to be mad. You're going to be all these other negative emotions, mm-hmm. you know, that makes your existence pitiful,
sure.
You know, so forth. So we know that's a forbidden fruit. We know that. Mm-hmm. And he offers this, and he entices people by way of it. Praise God. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. We know, secondly, that he, you know, offers this forbidden fruit by way of religion. By way of religion. I like to spend a little time on this one, you know, by way of religion. He does it all the time. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know. There's a population of Christians that will just receive things because it's spoken in a church.
Yeah.
And they won't even investigate it. They won't do any kind of their studying to show yourself approved. But because a priest said it, because somebody representing clergy said it, they just received it, you know, and they never went ahead and found out, is this true or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've built their whole life many times on things that are not scriptural and not accurate.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, and it's leading to disaster in people's lives. Like, for example, without going too far in it, we know religion is man's attempt to be like God without God.
Mm-hmm.
It's man's attempt.
Mm-hmm.
It's man's attempt to be like God without God. Jesus said, without me, you do nothing.
Right.
You do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Except the Lord build the house. Mm-hmm. They labor in vain that build it. So it's man's attempt to be like God. It's man's attempt of sowing fig leaves to cover the shame of their nakedness, you know, and to try to feel good about themselves spiritually. Okay. In the eyes of God, without the help and the work of the redemptive work of God, that's religion in a very small kind of capsule. So the focus of religion, watch this, is always self. Mm-hmm. Now, religious people ain't going to tell you that because they don't think that. Mm-hmm. Religion is deceptive. Mm-hmm. The world is appealing.
Yes.
It's seductive. Mm-hmm. Religion is not like this. It's a forbidden fruit, but its appeal is a different way. You know, its appeal is self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be, but self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. The focus of religion is always self. It's amazing as you begin to unveil scripture to folks, the reactions. I remember when I first started preaching the gospel of grace. Mm. And the gospel of grace, we know, is not the gospel of you do whatever you want to do. Okay. But when you start talking about the gospel of grace, we're talking about grace as a person, as Jesus, mm-hmm. you know. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Mm-hmm. We know that within the New Testament, it's not part man, part Jesus equals blessing. Mm-hmm. It's 100% Jesus mm-hmm. produces the blessing.
Right.
The Bible makes it real plain in Romans, makes it real plain. But in Romans chapter number 19, 3 and verse number 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. So he tells you why, you know, the law was given, that every mouth may be stopped. Mm-hmm. So an individual will say, well, just tell me, you know, I'm pretty good. And God says, no, see, you don't understand. You don't understand. To stand before me, right? You can't be pretty good.
Yeah.
You have to be perfect. I'm perfect to stand before me without my holiness killing you.
Right.
You have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, just tell me what to do because I think I can do it. Mm-hmm. God says, okay, mm-hmm. I'll give you 10. I'll give you 10. Do that. So forth. Man can't do it. So forth. We know I have to spend more time on this because I love getting into this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We know that prior to the law of Moses coming to people, prior to that, man or the people of God, specifically, you know, the Israelites, they did some stupid, silly things. But they never died because of it. Never died because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until they got before God and they said, all these things, we can do them.
Mm.
Where it looked like something now irritated God.
Mm.
Oh, you can do them.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Tell them this is what the deal is. Matter of fact, now tell them the soul that doesn't do this shall die. Immediately, the tone of God, his language changed. We see, you know, Abraham, for example, he did all kinds of things that was like wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't die for it, though.
True.
God
yeah.
covered him.
Yeah.
God blessed him in spite of him lying,
mm-hmm.
throwing his wife under the bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, those whole Hagar situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the blessing of God just kept rolling, just rolling, rolling in the man's life. We see, and you know, Jacob, you know, grandchild, all the different things. God shows up in a dream and blesses him. Blesses him. So forth. Then he show up saying, I know what you did, and I'm going to get you. I'm going to, you know, so forth. Shows up. Only reason why you're acting like that, because you don't know me. I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of your grandfather. I like to be your God, too. If you allow me to be your God, I'm going to give you this land over here. Replace a soldier for the tread. I'll give it to you. I see that nobody hurts you. I'll make sure I'll bless you. You'll have plenty of this. You'll have plenty of that. So forth. This is how God deals. All of a sudden now, when the people of God say, tell us what to do and we'll do it, is when, because they're now trying to operate by their own self-righteousness. So God gave the law to show them how desperately, how spiritually bankrupt you are without me. You can't do not one of them 10, even though there was way more than 10 of them. Yeah, don't so forth. You can't do none of these. You need me. At the same day that God gave the law, he instituted the blood sacrifice system. Yes. Because it's still God's compassion. Because he knows by way of the law, you won't get anything from me.
Nope.
Only thing you're going to get from me is judgment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Judgment. Because you're trying to stand before me based upon what you do. Mm-hmm. And no one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Mm-hmm. You can't. But I'm going to institute this blood sacrifice system. That if you go ahead and bring me that lamb over there, mm-hmm. bring me one of them goats. Mm-hmm. If you don't have none of that, bring me a pigeon, a turtle dove, and so forth. Bring it to me. Offer it up like it's you. Mm-hmm. And the stuff, the judgment, because you can't do the law, that now is due you, I'll put it on them. And I'll just cover your stuff for a little while. Until the ultimate Lamb of God comes. Praise God. But my point is not to see how I go too far with religion, because I hate it. I spend too much time on it, you know. But the point is that it is man's attempt to be like God without God. I had you in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse number, 19, where he talks about he gave a law that every mouth might be stopped. So no one can say, I've done, I can do. Every mouth might be stopped. He goes on in verse number 25. He goes on and says, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, watch this, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Religion's focus is self. Most people that are under the law don't think they're under the law. And if Satan has his way, they won't know they're under the law, so he can keep causing the curse of the law to work in their life. Mm-hmm. And they not know what's going on.
Yeah.
A lot of times people are under the law because they're operating in boasting. But they don't say it like that.
No.
It's called comparison. It's called comparison. I don't understand why that brother over there, how is he so blessed and the Lord did this for him and they got a new car and you got a $10 raise on his job and he smokes weed. I know personally. He smokes weed. He does this. He cheats on his taxes. He told me. So forth. And I'm over here. I'm trying to do everything. I'm the one that did cause him to be in church. I'm the, but everything is hard. And my son, I don't understand why. I've been praying this prayer and it's not coming to pass. This guy over here prayed a prayer. He's wrong. But God is blessing him. Some ain't right. Some ain't right. They're boasting. They're boasting. Why are they boasting? Because they're comparing. Why are they comparing? What they're saying is that God ought to be doing more for me because I do more for him.
Right. That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, see, you're under the law. Mm-hmm. The law was given to so that mouth might be stopped. Because if you understand that in this covenant, you are blessed not because of what you do, mm-hmm. but because of what he did.
Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, all the things that you did, that was worthy of punishment. He took all that.
See.
He took all that. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. So that there would be no boasting. If, in other words, if you get it right, you would never be comparing. You would never feel like, I don't understand why they got it and I don't. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? How you get what you, how did you ever get anything? You know, you've just been deceived. Yes. Into thinking that it somehow had to do with some of the good stuff you do.
Right.
And somehow you thinking that God is good to me because I'm good to him. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All I'm saying is that's the work of religion because the focus is no longer on Jesus.
That's right.
It's on you.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. It's on you, what you do. Again, people a lot of times are under the law and don't know they are.
Yes.
I've seen them 23 years ago. I've talked to them and they didn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. They would read that or hear it read, be like, yeah, you know, those are under the works of the law or under the curse. Man, that's a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. Who would want to do that? But they don't know how that fleshes out.
That's
and
right.
Satan wants to keep them in the dark.
Sure, man.
That's why we're doing what we're doing, not to throw a rock at anyone that's been under the law, because the Lord know I done been under.
Sure.
So forth, and didn't have a clue I was.
Sure.
So forth, and that's why out of the compassion of God, I want to be able to help people to understand that's what it's like when you are living under the law. Oh, I didn't know that. So, for example, the point I was going to make, I've seen this when an individual is going through anything, you know, in their life or they're in a personal crisis. Yeah, I've seen it particularly in dealing with, you know, sickness, mm-hmm. so forth. Is the pressure of that reveals hearts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Mm-hmm.
It will tell on you.
Mm-hmm.
You could be cooking and baking and incubating something in your heart. Let pressure hit you. It's coming out.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's coming out. I found, you know, praise God, this Andrew's story, but, you know, everyone can relate to this, that children will reveal how selfish you still are.
Oh, yeah.
You don't hear that crying. You want to act like you don't hear it. You want to act like you snoring. Yeah, no, but it'll reveal. Boy, you got a long way to go. It'll reveal. The point is, it didn't come by that boy. It was already there. The pressure of sleep deprivation just brought to the surface what was already festering up in there. You understand what I'm talking about? You know, the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That means you don't know where you're at until the day of adversity hits. Because you'll think, oh, no, I'm good. I'm ready. Praise God. I'm strong. So forth. But you can't judge that. I hope you are. But you can't judge that when the skies are blue in your life.
No.
Judge it when they're gray and they open up with showers and lightning. And okay, now it's going to reveal what manner of work has been going on under the surface. Yeah, so forth. But yeah, so I've seen this with sickness. Mm-hmm. When things get, you know, little dicey, you know, little whatever. I understand. I've been given. I come to church all the time. I've been faithful. That's a big one. I've been faithful. I understand. Why would this happen to me? You know. Mm-hmm. Oh, so healing now is paid for by your faithfulness.
Mm.
That's what you're saying. That's what a person is saying.
Right. Yeah.
Whether they understand it or not, because a lot of times they're in an emotional state that they're not even understanding. You understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Your thinking is flawed because your thinking connects something that cannot be bought with something that you can do.
Yeah.
It cannot. But my point is people have been under the law. It just didn't get revealed until life kind of squeezed on them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of this self-righteousness starts pouring out. I don't understand. And they don't never talk about Jesus. It's always their record.
Sure. Yeah.
They bring up their record.
Yep.
I've done this. I've been doing this. I help this person. People don't even know how much I do for other people. You know. And they bring up all this stuff that they're doing as if somehow that should inoculate them against anything ever bad ever happening to them. But you understand the trap of this itself. The point of it is that, you know, many times with religion being a forbidden fruit, it causes them to always be preoccupied with their works. Mm-hmm. Scripture calls it dead works, but just works. They're more preoccupied with what they got to do as opposed to what Jesus already did.
That's true.
They're preoccupied with their faults. They're preoccupied and so consumed with what ain't right in their life. So consumed with that. They're more like Adam. They were naked before. They just weren't ashamed because their eyes weren't here.
Right.
Their eyes were on him.
That's right.
We're on him. So consumed with what areas that they feel flawed in, so consumed that they become, as we've said before, and the scripture bears out, fruitless Christians. Christians that don't get people saved. Why? Because their mind ain't on other people. Who is it on? You. It's on themselves. They're bound up. Religion won't allow people to be free from themselves to go be productive and live a free kind of way towards other people. So forth. They're so bound by it. The third thing. Is this good?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
The third forbidden fruit that Satan offers on a regular basis is demonic assaults. Just frontal demonic assaults against your soul. The Bible makes it plain. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser of the brethren. The accuser accuses them day and night, the scripture says. So we know he's always trying to bring to your mind who don't like you.
Yeah.
Who says something hurt your feelings. Why it should hurt your feelings. Why you should be mad. He wants you to be mad. But in order to do that, he's got to get you to be about you.
Yeah.
He's got to get you to be about you. He's hoping that nothing, that he does not have anyone that understands the word enough or enough confidence in the word to meet those thoughts by saying what God says.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's hoping, like we said before, the devil's a bully and a bully never wants a fight.
Nope.
They just want you to lay down. Just give me the lunch money. Just hand it over. Hand it over. That's what he wants. So he assaults people hoping that they're not going to put up any kind of a fight or resist the devil, like the scripture says. And he'll flee because he doesn't want the fight. That's what that tells you. He doesn't want to fight. He wants you to be just break down, have a nervous breakdown, curl up, fetal position, you know, tub of ice cream, feel sorry for yourself, get out the old high school yearbook. Look at how I used to be. look at how I'm a mess now. I'm a flat, hot mess now. He wants you to be consumed with what ain't right. He wants you to be consumed with these things. He wants you to be, you know, mad at somebody. Feeling as if your life is being held up by somebody else. Now, the reality, there's goofy people in the world. There's always been goofy people, always will be goofy people. But Satan wants to make a person think that somehow you need somebody else's permission. You need someone else's cooperation for you to have what God said you can have. This is the assault of the enemy, the lie that he comes up against people on a regular basis. This is a forbidden fruit. He wants them to engage in this, making people your enemy. The scripture puts it like this. The fear of man brings a snare.
It
brings a snare. But whoso puts their trust in the Lord shall be safe. Hallelujah. So he assaults people. He needs you to think somebody else is your enemy. He needs you to be divided. The only way that Satan can do what he does, there has to be division.
Okay.
The only way he can do whatever he does. Everything of Satan demands strife. He demands it. It has to happen. House divided against itself cannot stand. But the only way that can work, he needs people to think they're your enemy. They're stopping you. They're blocking you. We got to get them out the way. You better go tell them a piece of your mind. Give them a piece of your mind. Truth is, you need all the mind you got, praise God. You don't need to be giving none of it away. But this is how he assaults people. This is how he assaults people. Now we know that Jesus came to redeem man from this forbidden fruit and all the effects of it. So the scripture makes it real plain in John 16 and verse number 33, John 16, 33, Jesus said, this is one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. He says, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world. So he's talking about that system. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So in other words, Jesus saying you don't have to buy the lie of the world system that you need to do this to be happy, that you need this other system to get your needs met. You know, I have delivered you from the world. You don't have to live a life like that. I've put you into a kingdom that you can sow and reap, praise God. Because in the kingdom, I've already blessed you. So you can get out the rat race by getting up out of the world system and enter into the kingdom where all things have been prepared for you. Hallelujah. So forth. So we know that we've been delivered. 1 John 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Those that are in the world are not operating by faith because they're operating by self-sufficiency. Mammon is dictating things in their life. They're moved by it. They're directed by it. It determines where they live. It determines everything in their life. It determines how they feel about themselves. You know, if they don't have a certain thing or a certain car, certain thing, whatever, they don't feel good or whatever. It determines everything about them. Jesus said, I have delivered you from the power of the world. Hallelujah. That you're not who you are based upon your education. You're not based upon your gender. You're not based upon the culture, you know, that you were born in or society you were born in, that you are who I said you are. Hallelujah. He's delivered you from that. You can have it all. You can have it all, even if your education says you can't. You can have it all. Hallelujah. Even if society says, son, you weren't born in the right family. The kingdom is the great equalizer. It levels the playing field. You can have whatever you say. Hallelujah. Because in the kingdom, you're a son of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So we know that Jesus delivered us from the world. We know he delivered us from the power of religion at the same time. The Bible says he was made a curse for us. You know, as it is written, curses every man that hangeth upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon everyone that believes. So we know he broke the curse of the law. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, he then took everything of the law, all the different requirements of the law, nailed it upon the cross of Jesus, signifying Jesus didn't come for himself. He fulfilled the law for us, as us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
As us. So in the eyes or the justice eyes of God, it has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. The life of Jesus is a gift to us. The courts of heaven already has declared your life has been lived. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus. That's it right there. In the courts of heaven, you died and rose again. So the punishment of God has been satisfied. In the eyes of God, the Bible says when he raised Jesus up, he raised you up.
Amen.
At the same time. Tells us it was the plan of God from the beginning that Jesus came as, you know, as you so that he could die for you as you. Hallelujah. He broke the power of religion. The requirements of it, of thinking that you have to get blessed based upon what you do.
Right.
That the weight of it will rest upon your shoulder. Jesus broke it all. I've blessed you. I've fulfilled all that. Now operate in the goodness of what I've done for you. So that does not mean that as Christians that we don't do good works. It's the reason why we do the good works that should be changed. When you're still under the law, you're like the prodigal son's brother. Thinking I could earn that fatted calf.
Right.
That if I stay out in this field one day, daddy gonna give me that fatted calf. One day, daddy gonna throw me a party. One day, never knowing that fatty cat belongs to you. You could have had a party anytime you wanted to, son, but you thinking you got to earn this. See, this is what Jesus delivered us from. Thirdly, we know that he's delivered us from demonic assaults. He's delivered us from all demonic assaults against our life. The scripture makes it plain. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. But he also says, and so forth. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. We triumph over all these things. We triumph over all these things. Now, the point, we want to go further with this. Hopefully this has been a blessing, you know, just going back over some of this. But the reason why I really felt led to make sure this word got out here, because I take this as a prophetic word, as I was saying earlier, that this word that I got from the Lord was to see to it that you don't get distracted. See to it that everything Satan does is what the one end result is, to get you and I to become self-conscious. Everything through the world system, through religion, through demonic assaults, is all trying to funnel you to the same place, which is being self-conscious. Yeah. It's all about self. He wants you there. Why? But this is the point. Why does he spend so much time with the intricacies of the world system? That's trillions upon trillions he has to invest to keep this system that's filled with lies going.
Yeah.
He's got to keep pumping it. He's got to keep pumping it. He is so intricate that is so demanding of time and money, so forth, and management to keep that lie going out there, to keep people getting seduced into this system here of thinking that there's another way of being, living a wonderful life without God.
Right.
That you, like, you don't need God to be happy. You don't need God to prosper financially. You don't need God for health. You got running. You don't need God. We got health. You know, we know how to eat now. We got technology. We got so forth. Like, we don't need God. And these are lies that are, you know, propagating within the world system, so forth. But why does he spend so much time with the world system and religion and making sure that the truth, that people would hold on to the law and would get mad at you? Christians will get mad at you by telling you we don't live by the law. They'll get mad at you, as opposed to praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you can deal with me without dealing with me based upon how I do, that you will deal with me based upon what Jesus did. What a deal. That sounds like good news. Hallelujah. But most Christians will get mad at you, as if you're propagating lawless living, as if you're just saying you can do anything. And we're saying far from the truth. What we're saying is his goodness. That's what led me to repentance.
Not,
I wasn't a weed smoker, but I just use it as an example. For a person to think, if I cut the weed, God will bless me.
Right.
See, they're going to be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be frustrated because they're going to be free from weed and still won't be blessed and be like, nah, I don't even have the weed. As opposed to understanding, no. God has already blessed
That's
you.
Right.
Just like you were.
Right. Yes.
Blessings on you.
That's right.
It's blessing. You can bless me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That will cause a person to be like, well, that means I don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to. You mean I don't have to, you know, always feel like, you know, people leaving me out, so forth? And I would always say I was shy when I was no, you're just self-centered. That's what you were. You mean I don't have to be bound by that anymore? Because I'm already blessed? Because I don't need someone's approval? They don't have to stamp my life for my life to be meaningful?
Right.
That he's made my life significant? Mm-hmm. That frees me from me to start talking to people. Because I don't no longer have to be afraid.
That's right.
Right, man.
I no longer have to be afraid of being rejected. I no longer have to be afraid that I don't measure up with somebody else. I no longer have to be afraid because I'm not a certain skill set the way someone else's skill set. I no longer have to be intimidated. Mm-hmm. He has so blessed me, and his blessing has, in the validation of it, has set me free from me.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So Jesus makes the awesome statement, you know, I used the word incredible, but if I did, this is when I would use it, so forth. He makes the awesome statement that if a man loses his life, he'll find it.
Amen.
You keep trying to hold on to that little pitiful piece of life you got. You'll lose it.
Yeah.
You'll lose it.
Yeah.
Life will stay small. Life will stay tight. Mm-hmm. Life will be unfulfilled. Life won't be fun. Mm-hmm. There won't be no fulfillment in it. By trying to hold on to that little pitiful piece of a life you think you got.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it ain't worth holding on to.
That's right.
It ain't worth it. Mm-hmm. So forth. He says, if you will receive this radical invitation to believe the gospel, that I have done everything back to the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
I have decorated your life. Mm-hmm. I have it all ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have the life that 10 million people would want to have for you.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen, ear haven't heard, never entered the heart of, they would have never thought of this.
Mm-hmm.
I planned it in detail for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based upon how your standard of living. It's not based upon your ethics or morality that you've carved out over time. It's based upon me.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. What must we do? They asked Jesus this.
Yeah, they did.
They asked him this. Somebody, it's awesome that God made sure that got recorded.
Yeah.
Someone asked, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God that you need to do. Believe. That's all you need to do because it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the only thing you need to do is believe, because the sixth day God, he finished his work. Seventh day he ended all his work because he was done.
Mm-hmm.
So only thing left to do once it's done is believe.
Amen.
That he's already made provision. That he's given me the grace that I need to be able to not only survive, but to thrive in this season.
Mm-hmm.
His grace is sufficient. He's got grace for everything. Jesus' life was a gift to you. That's why Satan wants you to get your eyes off of you or on you and off of Jesus. Because something supernatural happens when you start looking unto Jesus, looking unto him. Not just in a looking unto him, I go to church, but looking at what he did. Looking at his life as a gift that keeps on giving to you. That's his grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That means that his grace has been given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see his grace working in his life when he was in his earthly ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It was always sufficient.
Amen.
Financial pressure came. That grace worked.
Yep.
Go on down there. Praise God. Yeah, there's going to be a coin in the first fish mouth you pick up. Look in it. You're going to see a coin there.
Yeah.
It'll pay tax for all of us. Praise God.
Yeah.
It was working. That grace was working. He had people around him that were bitter, had wrong intentions in their heart, so forth. That grace was working on them. Bible says he walked right in the midst. They had rocks in their hand, intentions on killing him.
Mm-hmm.
That grace ain't going to happen today.
Nope.
Ain't going to happen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the time when things seem to be tight, they were in a desert place, you know. And scripture talks about he recognized everybody hungry, bellies was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's feed them. All I'm saying is his grace was working.
That's true.
Yeah. It was working.
Yep.
He never got into any situation that the grace wasn't sufficient to not just survive it, but to thrive in it.
Yeah.
That grace has been given to you.
Praise the Lord.
See? That's good.
That's why when Paul was bellyaching about, people, Lord, they doing this, and I told them stop, they didn't, and they saying things, and my grace is sufficient. You got my grace, son. You didn't get some grace I got in the locker somewhere. Dusted it off. It might work for you. Call me if you have some trouble. No, he says, no, this is mine. This is the grace I walked in. Hallelujah. That brought me victory every day. it's yours. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Like it's yours. Mm-hmm. Like it's yours. You don't ever have to be self-sufficient. You don't ever have to be, you know, centered on self. You don't ever have to live like that. Jesus said, if you would receive this radical invitation to declare your independence from being self-centered. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I want to do with this ministry that we're starting. Praise God. What I want to do is I want to be able to disciple people in it. I said, this word is big enough. We work on this word for the next year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of intentionally walking up out of being or living a self-centered life.
Amen.
Intentionally. Yeah. Intentionally. Reconnecting and daring to believe him. Daring to believe him when life does life stuff. Daring to believe him. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look at me just because this over here is just screaming, trying to get my attention, which draws it back to me. You know, I'm going to do my due diligence. I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to look at certain things, budget as best I can, but I'm putting my eyes on him. I'm leaning on him. Hallelujah. You see, so this is going to be something that I'm excited about because I believe, and many of you guys know this, I believe in discipleship is the key to prosperous living. Mm-hmm. That Jesus made it very, very plain. The principle of power in the kingdom is the principle of partnership. It's the principle of partnership. One can put 1,000. That's nice. Two can put 10,000. Which one is he highlighting? One or two? He's incentivizing partnership. What you can do on your own is no comparison to what happens when we link up and become something now that's bigger than anything that we personally could ever be. He incentivizes it, you know. If two of you, he didn't say one. Mm-hmm. There's a partnership because this is a kingdom principle. If two of you shall agree on earth touching anything, it shall be done. Exponential power goes into manifestation through the principle of partnership. Discipling is partnering. When you say, instead of just putting out certain things of what people should do, and you say, let's do it together.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Let's do it together. Let's walk this out. Let's not turn this into another religious club. Mm-hmm. Let's walk this out. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to do. That's what I want to do. That's what this ministry is going to be about. So forth. That we're going to be walking this out. So that's why we're going to be doing this video piece on a weekly basis, at least 3-4 times a week, maybe 5 times a week, that we're putting out this little video deal that literally will be little 15-minute little deals that's just going to give little snippets and little encouragements and flesh it out and bring it into a home reality and the regular. This is how you do this. This is what's going on in our world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're literally bringing people into the fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to look to the distortion of the glass of the fishbowl. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring them inside the fishbowl.
Awesome.
And say, okay, this is what's going on here. And this is how we're going to deal with it. Praise mm-hmm. God. Because you're dealing with something in your life. Mm-hmm. And we want to take people by the hand and let's walk and intentionally out of a self-centered life. Yeah, praise God.
Yeah,
where our eyes and our focus on what God has already made available mm-hmm. unto us.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So as life starts to do, as we said, life things, that we don't have to indulge in self and all the fear things that people do. Because when you're afraid, you get selfish. Fear makes you selfish.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be afraid of nothing. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You don't ever have to be afraid. We have God. There is never a situation that will come upon our lives that situation trumps us. The Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So that's what we want to be able to do. We want to be able to do this in a partnering, discipling type of a format. So we believe that by way of these videos, it's going to be a blessing to people, that we can help people to partner and help them to walk these things out in their particular lives as well. We want to be able to do things collectively and be a blessing and have impact within our city and our territory, and different things and places that we've supported in the past, want to keep supporting and be able to do certain things and new things of the Holy Spirit gives us opportunity or green light to go after and be a blessing to certain things. We want to do it and have the impact of it. So forth as a ministry, you see, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited what the opportunity is going to afford us to not only, you know, do things in an individual or partnership level, but I believe it's going to strengthen churches because this is a discipling. I think this is a tool that can help churches, whoever, praise God. That what I want people to do is, as this comes, especially on Facebook, to like it and share it and talk about it. And because there's, it's one of those things I think is very approachable, even more so sometimes than actually going to a physical church location. Mm-hmm. Because people have preconceived things in their mind with a physical church location. If you say, hey, we got this thing going on YouTube and so forth, this is really cool. We got this on. Check it out. It's easy. Mm-hmm. It's very inviting for people that are not saved, that are not highly spiritual, to say, well, yeah, I'm going to check that out or get involved, something like that. I think it could really do something, you know. So that's what I'm saying. It not only can help church people across the board, but it can strengthen the kingdom and it can turn people's lives into assets. It gives us another tool. It gives the kingdom another tool by which we can be able to rob hell and fill up heaven.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. You know, so I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. All right. So, Father, we give you the praise. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this opportunity to be a blessing to these, your people, Lord. Not only just our friends and family, so forth, but people all over the place. We're asking for your hand to come all over this, Lord. Enable this word to spread like wildfire. Give it free course. May this word have free course. Not just this word on living free from a self-centered life, but all the words that will come up out of this because of this launching, because of us having this thrust and this emphasis to get out here and help people and taking advantage of the formats that the Lord has created.
Yes.
For this, Lord, we give you the praise. We thank you for fruit now coming in the lives of your people that are walking up out of all the boundaries and limitations of a self-centered life. I speak life over every individual that heard this word and say, Pastor Roberts, that was me. And I see now how the enemy has trapped me. I see how he baited me. I see how he was able to seduce me. I see what was going on. I was living under the law and I didn't even know I was living under the law, but I want to partner with what you're talking about, and I want to intentionally come up out of this self-centered lifestyle. The only way that the enemy was able to have the upper hand upon me and in my life and all the negative things as a result of it is because I didn't know it.
I didn't know it.
And I know it gave him an advantage. But I thank you for light, Lord. Thank you for light and thereby causing me to be able to see the pathway of freedom, the pathway of liberty that is laid out unto me. And I'm going after it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So again, keep hearing this. Keep staying with this. Every week we'll have a message that will be going out, full length kind of message like this that will be going out, so forth. We'll be having this vlog that's going to be hitting pretty soon here, and you'll start seeing that. Get on our website, praise God, and take advantage of all these things. Our website called PastorDavidRoberts.com. Hallelujah. How simple can you make it? Praise the Lord. There it is. All right. Get on our website. Take advantage of all the wonderful things that we have made available unto you. All right. Until next time, remember that Jesus is Lord. The devil is defeated. And together we can make a difference.
Yes, Lord.
You've been listening to Living on Purpose with Pastor David Roberts. To hear more, visit PastorDavidRoberts.com and subscribe to our weekly podcast where we share real answers to living your best life.